That would have to be laboriously cleaned and dried before reloading was even possible. Blinking water from his bare eyes, J.B. eased back the bolt on the Uzi. Nothing stopped the resilient Israeli machine gun, but the 30 rounds in the clip was it for ammo. The rest was in the munitions bag at the bottom of the harbor, along with a lot of other vital supplies. Standing in the chest-deep water, the companions waited a good hour before the gates to the Ville opened and footsteps could be heard crunching in the loose sand.
Any sign of him, Arnold?
Course not, Frank. Jimmy's the best gunner in 100 islands.
Still gotta check.
Aye, that we do.
Now the footsteps approached and stomped overhead, causing a patter of dirt to fall from the weathered planks. With the loss of his sword, Doc drew a knife, and Ryan shook his head. The scholar nodded and reversed the blade in his grip so that it was pommel first. No chilling. He wanted prisoners first.
Frank, Arnold, go walk the beach to the point, see if anybody got out and tried for the jungle.
Key, they're bad luck if they did.
Aye, Billy, we'll check under the dock.
There was the sound of clothing rustling, and a yellow stream arched off the dock into the water. The companions forced themselves not to move.
Just warming it up first.
Stop fucking around, Frank. The Baron might be watching us.
Yeah, well, fuck his highness and the bitch who bore him.
You want to say that to his face?
Hell no!
Ryan realized that was nearly the exact conversation Jones and a sailor had held in the skiff. Had to be a local joke. Obviously, the Baron wasn't well-loved. Few were, unlike his nephew, Nathan Cawder. Not liked and not feared if they told jokes behind his back. This info might just work in their favor. Trying not to splash, Ryan moved toward the direction of the second voice and waited until a face appeared from above. Instantly, he grabbed the man's throat in an iron grip and hauled the sec man into the shadows. The prisoner tried for his blaster, but Doc snatched it away and splashed about in the water as if trying to swim.
Oh, for fuck's sake. The moron fell in again. Arnold, take Maggot and haul the stoop out of there before he drowns.
Why us?
Nobody here but us, and I ain't gonna do it. Go!
Two men jumped into the chest-deep water, and the companions charged, swarming over the sec men and taking them captive in a heartbeat.
Shitfire!
The remaining sec man standing on the dock saw the companions come into view with knives to his men's throats.
Hold! By order of the Baron!
He backed away from the outlanders. But then a large hand reached up over the side of the dock and grabbed hold of his right boot. Unexpectedly, the sec man found himself tumbling into the sea. Billy hit hard, water going up his nose, choking the guard for a moment. Then he was roughly hauled from the harbor onto the beach by a one-eyed man who looked grimmer than death.
You're the people from the skiff. How the hell can you still be alive?
Maybe later.
Ryan slid his blaster under the man's chin while he took his weapons. The local baron really had the sec man scared, or was it something else? When the man was unarmed, Ryan pushed the Sig Sauer into his chin until the sec man was looking into the sky.
Why did you shoot at us? Talk quick.
Why? Doing you a favor, idiot. You're already aced. Yes, I am too, now that I've touched you. Use the blaster on us both and end it, quick and clean. I don't want to die puking blood for days.
Think we're hot, eh?
Course you are! We seen you using the river. Must have gone right past Forbidden Island. Got no idea why you're still walking. Should have been chilled long ago. Guess I'm a dirt eater myself now.
Lowering the Sig Sauer, Ryan lifted the sec man off the ground.
Yeah. Do we seem weak? Hair falling out, gums bleeding, puking our guts up? Incredible, stupid bastard. We never got close to the reeking pest hole.
The sec man stared at Ryan as if expecting him to topple over, the flesh falling from his bones. But as it became clear this wasn't going to happen, the man started to quake in fear.
It's true. You're not hot. God's above. The Baron will use the cage on me for this fuck-up. Let me go. I'll risk the jungle. Please, have mercy!
Not my problem. I got a deal for the Baron, and you're part of the price. Lead the way.
To the Baron?
Start walking.
Suddenly, there was a commotion on the wall, and a metal gong began to sound. The sec man on the beach started running back at top speed.
More coming.
Jack clicked back the hammer on his damp pistol. Instantly, JB worked the bolt on his Uzi and swung the weapon back and forth.
Where? Which direction, dammit?
Shocked at the outburst, Christy stared at the man until she noticed how hard JB was squinting. Soaking wet, the armorer was without his wire-rimmed glasses. Without those, the man was nearly blind.
To the right.
Turning fast, JB triggered a burst into the air in that general direction. The sec men stopped in their tracks. The stutter of the rapid fire echoed across the harbor like a million ghostly blasters. The gates of the Ville swung open.
Cease firing!
The companions formed a firing line as a group of armed men walked from the gateway. Most held flintlock muskets, a few hastily loading crossbows. But one man was a bald giant, taller even than Ryan. All muscle, the Goliath was wider than two men, and stood bare-chested, bandoliers of brass ammo crisscrossing his Herculean torso. Cryptic tattoos in swirling patterns covered both arms, and matching knives with carved bone handles were sheathed at the belt buckle. The Baron carried a huge revolver in each hand, a steel magnum and an Old West revolver, the black powder blaster very similar to the monstrous Le Mans Doc carried.
So, they're not hot. Corporal Billy, you're a fool.
The Outlanders lie, my liege.
The aim of his hand cannons never wavering a moment, Baron Langford glanced at a shiny device strapped on his wrist.
No. It's the truth. I can tell these things. Corporal, you wasted pounds of black powder for no reason and chilled a dozen of my men. Guards! Put him in the cage. The little one.
No!
Billy struggled to break away from Ryan. Curious to see what would happen, the one-eyed warrior released the man. The corporal staggered away and then pulled a small concealed knife from his boot, plunging it into his own belly. Before he could do so again, the guards had him in their grip.
Leave the knife there. It'll make his time more memorable.
The guards carefully carried the bleeding prisoner into the Ville. The bleeding man whimpered until they were out of sight. Now the Baron turned his attention to the companions.
Unusual blasters you got there, Outlanders.
Uh-huh.
No smoke when the rapid fire fired.
Want to see it again?
Not right now. I'm Langford, Baron of this Ville. Who are you?
Nobody important.
A crowd of people had gathered at the gate in the brick wall. Slaves holding brooms, pregnant women, children. A blacksmith in a leather apron, his face burned from the forge. Probably most of the Ville. None were venturing out of the short tunnel, but watched from within the barrier.
I saw the skiffs. Is the Constellation damaged somewhere out on a beach?
Sunk by pirates. Jones and the others, chilled in the harbor, were all that remained of the crew.
Damn. Ah, Billy has been introduced to the cage.
Don't care. We're here to trade with you, not him.
Well, I'll swap you a dozen slaves for that rapid fire.
No deal.
Two dozen.
Don't want slaves. Need a ship.
Okay. A trawler for the blasters. And ammo.
Weapons aren't part of any deal. We're here to offer information.
For a ship? What kind of info could possibly be worth that?
While the two men talked business, the sec men started to spread out across the beach. The companions shifted their positions to match them, and the sec men retreated to the gate, but more appeared on top of the wall carrying long blasters. Ryan glanced at the crowd of people watching them from the tunnel. The wall had to be 10 feet wide, but then it was built to stop cannonballs.
Out here?
Inside, outside, makes no difference. This is my island.
We know the formula.
Do you know how many times I've heard that?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord Baron deals harshly with folks about such matters. Very harshly.
Doesn't matter. We can also tell you how to make it better than him. The powder he sells isn't as strong as the stuff he uses, right?
Maybe. But that's common enough knowledge. Gotta tell me more.
Three ingredients. But they have to be mixed in just the right amounts, or it's as useless as dirt.
Well, over dinner in my palace.
Out here is fine. Or we could talk on one of the trawlers.
Tell me an ingredient first. Then we talk on the ship.
Sulfur. You call it flash. The yellow powder that smells like bad eggs and comes from a steam vent near your volcano.
Trying not to show it, Langford was stunned beyond words. The Outlander knew everything. So the Lord Baron had lied. It was part of black powder and not something for his disease. The healers used flash to treat minor wounds. They healed faster that way, so it seemed only natural to assume the Lord Baron was doing the same for his strange illness.
Good enough. What's your price for the rest?
The trawler and a load of shine.
That's it?
All we need.
That's way too cheap.
Yet again, all we need.
I don't deal with traitors. Snipers! Kill these bastards!
The crowd of people turned and ran, while the Sekhmen cut loose with their flintlock miniballs humming past the companions. The range was too great for the crew's smooth bores. Trapped on the open beach, the companions dove to the ground. JB cut loose with a full stuttering scream at the group of Sekhmen. Mildred fired the shotgun, while Ryan shot the Baron twice in the chest. He then aimed for the guards at the gate, the 9mm blaster chucking hot lead death into their midst. Ryan had no idea how the talk had gone sour so fast. Meanwhile, Jack raked the beach with his Colt Python, taking out the nearby guards. Dean hit a sniper on top of the wall, and Doc slammed the pommel of his knife into the temple of the other Sekhman they'd been holding prisoner. As the groaning man fell, the scholar grabbed his flintlock. The discharge was louder than his Lama, but the 75 mini-ball slammed into a man with the crossbow, spinning him, and the arrow hit the wooden gate, going in a good foot. The rest of the Sekhmen retreated along the tunnel, firing at every step, the billowing smoke soon hiding them from sight.
Head for the trawler, people!
Firing at more Sekhmen appearing on top of the wall, Christie raced after Ryan, but tripped in the sand and came down hard. Trying to move, she found a gnarled hand clamped on her ankle, then her wrist, and Baron Langford stood, pulling her close.
Got you now, beauty bitch!
Point blank, Christie fired the S&W at the man. The Baron wrapped tree trunk-sized arms around her, pinning both arms at her sides. The pressure was incredible, and her blaster soon dropped from numb hands. Drawing his own revolver, Langford started backing toward the gate, holding the trapped woman as a human shield.
The bitch is mine!
Ryan and Mildred both took aim, but held off firing, afraid to hit their friend.
Damn!
Barely able to breathe, Christie clawed for her belt knife, but was unable to find it with her clumsy hands. His arms were so tight that all the sensation was fading from her body. In desperation, she drove a knee into his crotch. Langford only squeezed harder, making her ribs crack. Risking a shot, Ryan got the Baron in the shoulder, and he fired back with the booming revolver. Langford's arm jerked as blood spurted from his shoulder and the heavy combat round plowed into the sand between Ryan's boots.
Fire blast.
The son of a bitch had to have a dozen slugs in him and was still moving. He had to be some sort of mutie. Now the Baron and his captive were directly between the companions and the Sekhmen, neither side able to fire for fear of hitting one of their own. Only Langford was free to shoot, and he emptied the revolver at the companions. He tossed the empty blaster away and drew the black powder Colt 44 to start firing again. But the companions were back in the water, the angle of the beach making it hard to get a bead on them. Reaching the mouth of the tunnel, Langford paused and grinned in triumph.
Drop your blasters or the bitch dies!
A wild rage boiling inside, Ryan started to charge. Then he forcibly held himself back, knowing that if they attacked or surrendered, they'd all get chilled.
Shit!
Desperately, he tried to conceive of a third option, but every plan ended with Christy dead. They were going to have to leave her behind. It was a choice between her or all of them. There was no way around it.
Gotta go. Come back later.
Not yet, Jack.
JB started to charge, and Mildred held him back.
Don't want to lose you, too.
Fuck. You're right.
Swirling colors filled Christie's vision. Only the thundering blood in her ears could be heard. Death was near, and she knew she had only one chance. Mentally saying the prayers to Gaia that would summon inhuman strength, the woman experienced a rush of electric power that banished the pain and returned the feelings to her arms. Christy tried again to break free from the Baron's grasp, and his arms parted easily.
What?
As she got loose, Langford aimed his blaster, but Christy knocked it aside. The mini-ball tugged at her khaki jumpsuit as it tore a new hole in the cloth. His left wrist throbbing, the Baron dropped the exhausted weapon and threw a punch. Christy swayed out of the way, feeling it brush her chin, then leaned in and hit him twice with blows that would have aced a norm.
Bitch!
The behemoth buried his fist into her stomach, but the blow seemed to have no effect.
What?
She kicked dirt in his eyes, but the giant grabbed for her throat. Christy fainted to the right, and incalculable agony shattered the universe. Langford had yanked loose a handful of her animated hair.
No!
In spite of the pain, Christy swung out her legs for a trip, and the Baron landed sprawling, red filament still clenched in his fist. The sight fueled her anger, and Christy rolled on top of the man to slap cupped hands onto his ears.
How you like that? How you like that?
The giant rose to his knees, throwing her off. Rolling to her own knees, Christy saw trickles of blood flowing down his neck and knew she'd successfully burst his eardrums. Spinning on a heel, Langford kicked at her, lightning fast. The boot scraped her side, and Christy swayed out of the way just in time to avoid the expected second kick from his other boot. Her hand brushed one of the dropped blasters on the ground, and she drew it toward his face.
Ha ha! What are you gonna do with that, beauty bitch?
Exhausted, Christy weakly stood in the tunnel.
What?
Hail to the new Baron!
Oh, Gaia.